We're back on Left Out. This is Left Out on WRCT, and we're talking about various things. If you want to give us a call, the number is 412-621-9728 or 89728 on campus, or email bob@leftout.info.
Right, for our next topic, I think is one that I think will be of interest to at least some of our listeners, which is to do with the bicycling in Pittsburgh. So I think many of our listeners ride bicycles around Pittsburgh, either for commuting purposes or for just for recreation, just for fun. In fact, it's actually a nice thing about Pittsburgh is there are quite a few people who are very keen bicyclists. But everyone who rides in Pittsburgh, knows that it presents certain challenges for the rider, and by which I don't really mean the geography. The geography is actually what makes part of what makes it so much fun to bicycle in Pittsburgh is that there are hills.
Yes.
there are hills that will challenge you no matter what your level of ability is. It's just a question of which one you choose to do. So I remember some years ago when the Thrift Drug Classic day race was here, Lance Armstrong himself used to race in Pittsburgh, and the reason was he liked doing I think it was 10 or 12 laps up Sycamore Street on the Mount Washington. If you haven't ever tried Sycamore Street on your bike, you ought to at least go and look at it just so you can get
an idea. Is that the winding one?
It switches back a couple of times, and it's pretty steep. it's a tough climb. But that's not really the issue. The thing that makes biking in Pittsburgh so challenging is the, road design and maintenance, and even the maintenance is less of a problem than the design, and difficulties with drivers. So the reason I'm bringing this up today is, I'm an avid cyclist. Many of you who know me know that. And I bicycle quite frequently for exercise, recreation. It's fun. And like many people who ride in Pittsburgh, I've run into lots of difficulties over time, usually with traffic and with cars. And day before yesterday, I finally had my date with destiny and was hit by a car in Schenley Park. And I think I will recover. We're looking into exactly what's wrong, but doesn't seem to be anything too disastrous. I may have some fractures and I have some bruises and stuff. But the point is not so much that, although I can tell you it's a shocking experience, especially when, as in my case, I was blindsided by someone who took an illegal right turn directly in front of me. I never saw them coming. All I remember was thinking, I'm being hit by a car. I can't believe it. And went crashing down. But I bring this up here on the radio because I think many of our listeners will know exactly what I'm talking about the behavior of Pittsburgh drivers, and maybe try to make a plea to do something about this. So one thing I would like to mention is the work of Bike Pittsburgh. That's bike-pgh.com, and that's linked to from the Left Out webpage at leftout.info, is an activist group that does quite a lot of good work on behalf of bicyclists in Pittsburgh, trying to, amongst other things, trying to help with, for example, installing bike racks around town. This summer you may have noticed there are actually some very elegantly designed artistic...
Oh, down by the stadium.
There are various places. Yeah. They're kind of an abstract Three Rivers, if you look at it, the design.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little circle with a kind of Three Rivers sort of design. And they've done lots of work. I mean, there's quite a number of things. And one of the things that they do is they maintain a log, a place where you can type in and information about incidents where you may have been injured due either to road damage or road conditions or due to another driver. So it'd be good to mention that. But the other thing I would like to do is take the opportunity to say a few things about bicycling that it seems that all too often people seem not to understand. And I think the main one that I would like to get across to our listeners is that if you do look at the PennDOT driver's manual, for example, to look at the laws, the laws governing bicyclists in Pittsburgh, I'd like to emphasize that bicyclists are fully within their rights to be riding on the road along with the rest of the traffic, automobile traffic, and have all of the same rights and all of the same responsibilities of someone in a car. And I think my own opinion is, after many years of riding in Pittsburgh, is that the attitude...
People don't know that.
Not only do they not know that, perhaps, but their attitude is the opposite, that you belong on the sidewalk if you belong at all, and you're a tremendous annoyance, and you absolutely do not belong in the road. And they feel free, very many people feel free to take whatever measures they wish in order to let you know how much they resent you, your existence on the road. So I think the first thing is that we bicyclists are first-class citizens, mm-hmm. and we are entitled to the exact same treatment that any other vehicle on the road, whether it's a motorcycle or a car or a Hummer H3 or whatever it might be, that you run across on the road. In particular, if I'm proceeding straight through an intersection, you bloody well are not entitled to come and cut me off and take a right turn in front of me while you make your right turn, any more than you would be entitled to do that with a car. And, of course, the difference here is it's not a fair fight because you can certainly cut me off and even, crash into me, and the chances of it doing you any harm are practically nil. But that's my first plea. We're first-class citizens, and we are entitled to all of the respect that anyone else gets when they're on the road. And I think a related point is that the roads aren't, or shouldn't be at any rate, built solely for cars. Right,
the design should be
the roads are there.
The
roads are there for transportation, including, and in fact, it's oddly enough, if you look at the PennDOT literature, even for horse and buggy officially, mm-hmm. The roads. But there aren't so many of those. But there are quite a few more bicyclists, at least in this area. And it's not exclusively the domain of cars. It's just okay. Cars are dominant. That's for sure. But the roads are there for all of us. And from time to time, you'll see on the side of the road a share the road sign. This PennDOT has a sign called Share the Road, reminding people to share the road with cyclists.
There are a few roads that are explicitly with marked bike paths, like Beechwood Boulevard.
Yeah, the problem with those bike paths, it sounds like a really nice thing. But what it really means is that all of the road debris goes in the bike path. And bikes are a lot more vulnerable to the road debris than cars are.
Yeah.
So what happens is all the junk, the broken glass, the old muffler, the sticks, the whatever, all accumulates in the bike path, and it's kind of tough. But that kind of brings me to another point, which is that, first of all, there are the rules. Okay, so the rules are what I've just said. All right, bicyclists are fully within their rights on the street. The second of all, though, is a bit of a plea for some courtesy, because although if you say it out loud, it's obvious, in practice it seems to be not so obvious. People should be reminded we're riding under our own power. We don't have a 250 horsepower engine, so the fact is, if I want to go over to Fox Chapel, let's say, a likely route for me is to go across the Highland Park Bridge, and I'm very far from being a competitive cyclist, but I'm not completely helpless, and I work but it's hard work going up that hill that goes from Washington Boulevard up onto Highland Park, and I don't waste any time when I'm doing it. I'm standing there, I'm doing it as quickly as I can and keeping up with traffic, but I nevertheless I'm not going to be able to keep up with somebody who floors it with their car. And, that's not my fault. I can't help it that the road is not designed with any provision in mind whatsoever for bicyclists. I'm in my lane. I'm climbing up the hill, but I'm under my own power. It's, there's only so much I can do. So there's a certain amount of courtesy and understanding there that is required. And I should mention it's explicitly should go without saying, but I will say it because of so many incidents I've had. It's in fact a criminal act to force a bicyclist off the road using your car. So let me remind you of that. This happens quite often. Maybe there's a 5-10% of drivers are really gratuitously aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And many a time I've had those encounters.
There's and on the other side of the different aspect of this is that there are the rails to trails paths that are being developed.
Yeah, those are great.
Been developed, and I've been on a couple of those, and they're beautiful. I mean, you can go in an area near Pittsburgh that's just you don't see hardly any development at all. You see, you're going along a river and.
Yeah,
going over little bridges and
those
stuff.
Those are great, and many of my friends enjoy those. It happens I don't like doing trail riding for Several reasons. One of which, the primary one of which, is that they're flat.
There are no hills at all.
There are no
hills.
That's
why
I
like them.
So this is one of those things. Okay, but there's room for everyone. I don't mind. That's a great thing to do if you enjoy doing it. I myself like to push myself to my limits on the hills and do the best I can. But in any case, if I wish to ride in the road, I'm fully within my rights to do that. And I think that's important to get across to people, because And I think the other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, things that are minor inconveniences for you in your car, like a pothole here or there, or some crack in the pavement, or some, you know, bus moguls in the pavement, or debris in the road, you know, those things would be minor inconvenience to you in a car. But, for someone who's on a bike, they could be deadly, actually. I hate to exaggerate, but, you know, some of these gratings over storm drains.
You have to avoid them.
If I were to hit them, I mean, that's it. I'm toast, okay? There's no way I can just ride over that or just, you know, say, ouch, you know, that was a big bump. You know, it's more like, you know, ouch, I'm landing on my head and trying not to get run over. So, you know, people have to understand that there's unfortunately, the roads in Pittsburgh are not designed with bicyclists in mind. The interchanges, like, for example, on Route 8 over the 68th Street Bridge, the R.D. Fleming Bridge. I mean, it's appalling. It's absolutely appalling. I have to compete with people going 60 miles an hour on a limited access highway in order to get over to Aetna on my bike. It's terrible. But if I may remind our listeners, that's not my fault. You know, I can't help it.
Well, they could have designed the
intersection. I have no choice but to go on this, you know, divided highway to, you know, high-speed access ramp to get over into Aetna on Route 8. It's completely crazy.
Well,
they designed the routes without bicyclists in mind.
If one day you don't appear on the show,
then you'll know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the other hand, I've often said if I'm going to die, it would be really altogether, I'd just as soon die on my bike. Just bury me with my bike and I will be happy. Okay, well, that's enough. And I wanted to make a plug for Bike Pittsburgh because I think they're doing a good job. There are also other organizations like the Western Pennsylvania Wheelmen, for example, who do a lot of good work. There's the Rails to Trails Consortium. Rails to Trails Conservancy, I think they're called. Lots of organizations are doing great work on behalf of bicyclists. But since I had a particularly bad experience this weekend of getting, you know, nailed by a car, I thought I would bring this up. All right, enough on that. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-268-9728 or 621-9728 or send mail to bob@leftout.info. Well, we have 5 minutes remaining. I suppose the inevitable is to talk about the election last week, Danny. It's another four years of Bush.
Yeah, I don't know.
How are we ever going to survive?
Well, it has to do with how closely we follow the news. Because if we follow it too closely, it can be.
So that's an issue. But you know, the thing is, my instinct, and I think it's the right instinct, is never ever give up. We cannot give up, because if you just take the view, well, I'm just going to ignore it or throw up my hands and say, oh, that, well, the heck with it. That's it. You know, there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
So one thing I would like to do is to exhort our listeners to keep at it. And I wanted to mention a few experiences. Last week, Danny, you were working.
I was working with Move On as a precinct leader in the Squirrel Hill in the JCC.
Which meant that?
I collected names of people who were going to get out and vote for Kerry, and they were people who don't always vote. And we had this. We went to them, to their houses. We called them up, and we told them how important it was to vote. And we made this long list of, and we made sure they actually voted. So we checked them off the list when they voted, when they came to the polls. Late in the afternoon, we started calling them all up to say, "Did you vote?" And a lot of them had voted because we didn't see them when they voted, but some of them hadn't, and we gave rides to some of them to help them vote.
This was great.
Finally, near the end, I actually went to houses door to door for two or three stragglers who never actually did vote.
Well, bully for you. This is great. I worked as a poll watcher for the Kerry Edwards campaign in the 33rd District and 14th Ward, and there were also other MoveOn volunteers at my polling station. And I have to say, one of the things that inspired me the most about this election and really leaves me with a very good feeling was to see the dedication of the people who are working for MoveOn, for mm-hmm. ACT, for the Sierra Club, for the Kerry Edwards campaign, for the DNC. I'm sure there are other organizations as well. I was very inspired by people's dedication, that how much they were, how important they considered the election, how passionate they were about it, how much effort they put into it. People like you working all day canvassing voters, even on election day, but also prior to election day. I went out many times. I know that you did canvassing voters, knocking on doors, phone banking, some friends did. And the thing that is very encouraging, and I think it's a very worthwhile thing to keep in mind, is that, well, you know, those of us who are more on the left are not alone. There are actually quite a lot of us. And it's really impressive to see how many people put in so much energy. And I share their disappointment. I mean, I think are as crushed.
Devastating blow that in the first few days after the election, we were all just moping around.
Wednesday was awful. I was extremely dejected. But we'll talk more about this in future.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I want to, and just that we can talk about in the future as well, is that what are we going to do? What's going to happen to the organizations that MoveOn formed a huge organization? There were hundreds of volunteers in Pittsburgh.
Right. I would hate to see that loss. How can we use that, marshal those resources to go forward? For example, the next target has to be Rick Santorum, right? We've got to get rid of Rick Santorum.
But I'm hoping to do other things, not just elections. Yeah. Do things like the media reform that we were talking about before.
Bolstering the reality-based community would be my slogan. Yeah. But let me, before we're just about out of time, let me thank everyone personally, particularly from Left Out, the Sierra Club, ACT, as well as the Kerry and Edwards campaign, the DNC, all the volunteers who worked so hard and so passionately on this election. Please don't give up.
That's it for the show, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.